Please kindly return this USB device to Middlesex Association for the Blind once you've heard this audio recording. There will be no charge to return this USB to MAB. Simply flip the address card over, place the USB device in the padded envelope provided, and pop it in the letterbox. Middlesex Association for the Blind, thank you in advance for your help and support. Middlesex Association for the Blind, supporting people with sight loss since 1922. Outlook, Spring Summer Edition 2024. We cover the boroughs of Barnet, Brent, Ealing, Enfield, Haringey, Harrow, Hillingdon, Hounslow and Richmond. This free MAB Outlook magazine is produced in print, braille, USB and email. Registered charity number 207007. Mission statement. The Middlesex Association for the Blind aims to support people who are blind or partially sighted to lead independent lives. The association achieves this through the local provision and delivery of a range of high-quality services, advice and information to people across 9 London boroughs. Contents. Message from our CEO, Valerie Hill. Donations, wills and legacies. Thank you for your donations. Lords Taverners Cricket Club, the Super Ones. Green Doctors Service. Testimonials, IT and Home Visiting Services. MAB Services and News. Envision, Navigating the Internet. London Blind Ramblers, Information. Other News, Volunteers Needed. Andrew Jones and the London Marathon. Enfield Vision, Information. Testimonial Rapid Response Counselling, Mobile Resource Unit, MRU, iMatter, Information, Employment Service, MAB Board of Trustees, MAB Volunteer Meets Mayor of Barnet, MAB VIP Clubs, Contact Numbers, Contributing to Outlook, Magnifico, the Magnifier Company, Evenbreak, Job Board for Disabled Candidates, and thank you. Message from our CEO, Valerie Hill. Summer is in the air and brings us some much needed warmth and sunshine. Hopefully, we can all embrace the outdoors and recharge our batteries over the next few weeks. MAB is busier than ever, now supporting close to 600 residents across 9 boroughs. Our mobile workers, whether home visiting support workers, IT trainer or counsellor, work tirelessly to deal with the steady influx of referrals. Our mobile resource unit is visiting new venues to reach as many of you as possible. Together with our wonderful and resilient head office team, they ensure smooth continuation of our services. My heartfelt thanks go to all our staff for their hard work and continued dedication. The support we receive from you throughout the year is instrumental in helping our team and valued volunteers fulfil our mission of mitigating the impact of sight loss. We could not deliver our services without your help. Whether you're an individual, a local authority, trust or philanthropy, I thank you all for supporting MAB. I hope 2024 has been kind to you all so far and will continue to bring some happiness as we enter the second part of the year. I wish you all the best. Donations, wills and legacies. Avoiding mess after death. Did you know? If you don't draw up a will, the state will decide who inherits your money and your possessions. And if things took an unexpected and tragic turn for you, everything you own would go to the Treasury. Except if you lived in the Duchy of Lancaster, in which case it would be the King, not the Treasury, who would get your unclaimed estate. And if you lived in Cornwall and you pass away without a will, you would be sending your unclaimed assets to the Prince of Wales. Here are some reasons as to why you should draw up a will and to ensure that you don't make the royal family any richer than they are already. So why should you draw up a will? The short answer is that it should help to avoid the mess which could result after your death if you don't. If you die without a will, then you're considered to have died intestate. The result of this is that the state decides who inherits your money and your possessions. What happens will depend on which relatives survive you, but generally speaking, if you leave a spouse and children, your spouse will inherit your personal possessions and the first £325,000 of your estate, as well as half of the remainder. The remaining 50% will go to your children, and they could have to pay tax on that amount. This may be exactly what you want to happen, but it also may not be. You may not want your estate to be divided up in those portions. You may want your children to inherit more or less, or you may want your spouse to inherit more or less. You may have a partner who you aren't married to, a common law spouse, stepchildren, friends, or charities that you would like to inherit some of your wealth. If you die intestate, none of these people will be able to inherit anything. So the one big advantage of drawing up a will is that you get to decide who inherits what. What about the executor of your estate? Another major advantage is that you get to decide who will be executor of your estate. The executor is the person who is legally responsible for carrying out the instructions in your will and handling your estate. It is preferable that this person is someone who you trust, who you know will handle your estate professionally, and most importantly, someone who you know will keep your interests and the interests of your beneficiaries in mind. If you don't make a will and appoint an executor, then the beneficiaries of the estate will have to apply to become administrators of your estate, and there is an order of entitlement that they have to apply for to do this. Unless there is clear agreement about this appointment, you risk creating conflict between family members about this appointment. Buried or cremated? Drawing up a will also gives you the opportunity to express your wishes about your funeral arrangements and whether you would like to be buried or cremated. You can leave more specifics about your funeral in a letter of wishes, but your will, which can become a document viewed by the public, can at least give you the option of stating whether you want to be buried or cremated. When should you draw up a will? It is never too early to draw up a will, particularly if you have children who are dependent on you. Drawing up a will also means you get to decide who will be the guardian of your children should you and the children's other parent both pass away unexpectedly. The risk you take in not drawing one up is that your children could be looked after by someone you wouldn't necessarily approve of. On the other side, as you grow older, it can also become too late to draw up a will. Most solicitors will advise people to draw up a will while they have testamentary capacity. This means you have to be over the age of 18 and be compos mentis. In other words, still of sound mind. Being compos mentis is a condition that can ebb away sooner than you expect, particularly in a country where we have more and more dementia occurring in our older population. If you are elderly and if the beneficiaries of your estate doubt that you made your will with full testamentary capacity, they can oppose the will and once again a messy situation can result. It is therefore important to make your will while you still have all your faculties and before you need to involve medical people to confirm that you do indeed still have testamentary capacity. As you can see, depending on your personal situation, there is a lot to consider when you make a will. But wait, there is even more. What is best for your children? The law says that children can inherit at 18 years old, but you may want your children's inheritance to be held back in trust for a longer period. You may want your children to work first to establish themselves without your assistance, or you may feel that their marriages are vulnerable. Writing a will enables you to choose when you would like your children to inherit their portion of your estate. You may have members of your family who are incapacitated and who would not benefit by getting their inheritance outright and upfront. Drawing up a will enables you to appoint a trustee who will look after the finances they inherit and ensure that they are taken care of. If they already receive benefits, you want to be sure that any inheritance they receive doesn't jeopardise the support they are currently receiving from the state. A good solicitor will help you with options to overcome all of these challenges. What about tax? As mentioned in the second section of this article, if you die intestate without a will, your children will have to pay tax on the portion of their inheritance. Inheritance is broadly charged at 40% of anything above £325,000. There are many ways of reducing this inheritance tax, and if you draw up a will, then the solicitor should be able to help you to draw one up that is tax effective. There are options where you can make use of spouse and charity exemptions to reduce the amount of inheritance tax that will be paid out by your estate. What about joint assets? Joint assets normally pass to the surviving partner. So if you hold a bank account or a property with a partner, if you die, your share of the money in the account or your share of the property, if it is held in joint names as beneficial joint tenants, will go to your partner. This is all good and well if the partner is your spouse, but what happens if you have a business partner with whom you have a bank account or a property? Would you want them to inherit your share of these assets, or would you want them to go to your family members? Drawing up a will enables you to ensure that joint assets are distributed appropriately and that you don't deprive your children or your preferred beneficiaries of aspects of their inheritance. What about life policies? If you die without a will and the proceeds of your life policies are payable to your estate, then they could be taxed at 40% along with the rest of your estate. If you put your life policies into a trust, this should help to reduce the amount of inheritance tax that would be paid on your death. What about pensions and death and service cover? Generally, pension funds and death in service cover passes outside the will and free of inheritance tax, but you still need to complete appropriate memoranda of wishes to ensure that your intended recipients benefit. Writing a will and planning for these payouts effectively will enable you to choose where these payouts go. It may, for example, make more sense in terms of tax and real money if these payouts were to go to your children or your grandchildren rather than to your spouse. What about the deed of variation? If you write a will that leaves your estate to be divided equally between your children, then they can choose, if they are all in agreement, to alter that will. They may, for example, be able to make changes to the will that will enable them to reduce inheritance tax. So as an example, one child could rather choose for his portion to go into a trust he has established for his children, rather than for the money to come directly to him. If you have written a will, then the adult beneficiaries automatically have a right to this deed of variation, and it can make the process of tying up your estate simpler. If you die intestate, leaving infant children to inherit, then they cannot complete a deed of variation. Also, beware. There was an act passed in the UK in 1975 that says that certain categories of people can make a claim against your estate if you haven't made provision for them in your will. These could be spouses, former spouses, common law spouses, infant children, adult children, or people who are financially dependent on the deceased. All of these possibilities need to be considered when you write up a will. It is best to guard against there being any conflict around your estate and to prevent any such disputes arising, and drawing up a will makes this possible. So who can you approach to draw up your will? Depending on how complex your situation is, you may want or need more or less expertise. Ideally, you want a specialist who is registered with the Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners, or STEP, and who will be able to understand your particular situation. You will want this person to be able to make recommendations that will help you to create a will that will not leave a messy situation for anyone to have to deal with after you've passed away. And obviously, you will want to know how to make your will tax effective so that whoever you leave your money to, whether it be a family, friends, or a charity, they don't pay tax unnecessarily. What do we offer as MAB? At MAB, we have partnered with two companies that offer a free will writing service. If you are visually impaired, they will send a solicitor to your home to help you to draw up a will. After your discussion, they will go back to their office and draw it up, whereafter they will send it to you for you and two witnesses to sign. The companies are Octopus Legacy, phone number 0800 773 4014, and Quill, spelt K-W-I-L, phone number 0800 061 4934. Both of these companies also offer an online service. As long as you use the code MABFREE, that's M-A-B-F-R-E-E, you will not be charged for drawing up this will. All that we ask is that you consider giving us a gift in your will in this process. Lasting powers of attorney. The solicitor who comes to your home may also talk to you about drawing up lasting powers of attorney. These provide that if you become incapacitated and lose your mental or physical faculties, that somebody else can sign for your financial and property needs and or in relation to your health and well-being issues. NB. Please note that our free will service does not cover drawing up lasting powers of attorney, and if you make use of this service, you will have to ask the solicitor what they will charge to do this. And what about the royals? I can hear you all asking this now. I mentioned in the beginning of the article that if you didn't draw up a will, all your earthly possessions could end up in the hands of the Treasury, the King, or the Prince of Wales. There is a law in the UK called bona vacantia, which says that if you pass away without a will, and if you have no relatives, close or remote, who could inherit, then this law takes effect. It also takes effect if you do have a will, but if all the beneficiaries of your will all die at the same time. So if, for example, your whole family is tragically killed in the same accident and you have no remote relatives, all your earthly possessions will go to the Treasury, the King, or the Prince of Wales. They will not go to your friends or your favourite charities. I don't know what you think, but in my opinion, regardless of if you love or hate Treasury and the Royals, this is good motivation to draw up a will. I would far prefer my good friends or my favourite charity to inherit my estate in this case than for it to end up in the coffers of the state, the King, or the Prince of Wales. Donations welcome. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us. With your financial gift, we can help people who need us. Losing sight can be terrifying and anxiety-provoking. With your help, we can enable people who have a visual impairment to maintain their independence and regain their mental well-being. Call 020 8423 5141 to donate by phone, or go to www.aftb.org.uk to donate online. Lord's Taverners. Empowering young people through cricket. Super Ones give young people with a disability the chance to play regular competitive cricket while improving confidence and independence. Contact details: Five Fields, 8 to 10 Grosvenor Gardens, London, SW1W 0DH. Contact at lordstaverners.org, www.lordstaverners.org. Call the Green Doctors, 0300 365 3005. Struggling with your energy bills? Our Green Doctors can help you. Reduce energy usage, install energy saving devices, tackle energy or water debt, priority services register. The service is free and the call is free. IT Support Services by Tomasz Zubertski. Home Visiting Services by Camila Reynolds in Ealing. Service User Testimonial, David, London Borough of Ealing. The technology is going so well. Tomasz says I have picked it up remarkably well for a person my age. He's a very good teacher, very clear. I'm using a blind shell phone, particularly for blind people. I'm now involved in Lazarus, a sat-nav, and I have also learned everything to do with the BBC, iPods and talking newspapers. Next, I'm going in for a smart TV, which will be better for me being partially sighted, and the internet is on it too. I didn't think I would learn at my age, but I seem to have done so. I am well pleased with him. Independence? Yes, and this was the main thing. It introduced me to the internet. Reduced social isolation? Definitely. I can now get in touch with people much more easily. Mental well-being? It has helped me with my mental well-being as I am more independent. IT Support Services by Tomasz Zubertski. Home Visiting Services by Alison Bicknell in Harrow. Service User Testimonial, Dipti, London Borough of Harrow. Very good training. Nowadays I can use my mobile and my email. It has linked me up with people. It is very useful for me to gain confidence. I'm doing my emails by myself now. I'm also learning on a computer, but I can read and send my emails on my phone. Independent? Yes. Isolation? I can do everything. Mobile usage was very limited. Used to be stuck. still learning to send an email, can send WhatsApp messages, know how to block, and more social contact, yes. Better mental well-being, yes. Feel more in control of your life and affairs. Tomáš is very calm and very helpful. MAB Services and News. We are pleased to introduce the MAB team. Valerie Hill, Chief Executive Officer. Patricia Odina, Operations Manager. Catherine Holtzhausen, Fundraising Manager. Shaheen Tupchian, Bookkeeper Admin Assistant. Tomáš Zubertsky, Mobile IT Trainer. John Monkhouse, Employment Services Officer. Nazreen Akhtar, Office Administrator. Maggie Dawson, Braille Tutor. Cheyenne Syed, Mobile Resource Unit Project Manager. Raheel Razvi, Rapid Response Counsellor. Bina Padia, Barnet Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Rita Shah, Brent Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Camila Reynolds, Ealing Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Ruth Gaskin, Enfield Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Caroline Adamson, Haringey Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Alison Bicknell, Harrow Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Joanne White, Hillingdon Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Kazia Cheplak, Hounslow and Richmond Support Worker and Volunteer Coordinator. Leavers, Aini Rubio-Belenga. From all of us at MAB, thank you for your valuable contribution and all the very best for the future. We're very grateful for the hard work and dedication of all our team members, past and present, and thank them for always striving to make a positive difference to the lives of people with a visual impairment. Envision. This is a free online resource dedicated to helping people live better by seeing better. They recently published an educational guide to navigating the internet for individuals with low vision or blindness. Our free resource covers the built-in tools that make sites more accessible for people with vision loss. Please take a look. envisioncentres.com/internet-accessibility-guide. London Blind Ramblers. Do you live in London, enjoy walking, but find it difficult to do so on your own? If so, then London Blind Ramblers could be for you. We are a group of both blind and partially sighted people, varying in age from our 20s to 80s, who meet most weekends from March to October, normally on a Saturday or Sunday. We usually meet at an underground mainline station within the Freedom Pass area and team up with a local rambling group who hosts the walks for us and provides sighted guides for our members. Most walks are 6 to 8 miles, so you do need a reasonable level of fitness and sensible footwear or walking boots. You should also be comfortable travelling independently by train or tube to the starting point of the walk. We encourage members to take their own packed lunches with them to enjoy during the walk in a more tranquil setting, away from the hustle and bustle of everyday London life, but close to essential facilities. So if you'd like the opportunity to visit new places, meet new people, and maybe resurrect that New Year's resolution to get fitter, why not contact us via email at inquiries@londonblindramblers.org.uk or visit our website londonblindramblers.org.uk for more information. Please note, you do need to book onto our walks usually about a week in advance in order to ensure there are enough sighted guides for all of those who attend. Cost of Living Crisis Campaign. Resources available. For further information, please contact your borough support worker or volunteer coordinator. Other news, volunteers needed. You can make a real difference. Interview with an Enfield volunteer. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and how long you've been volunteering with MAB? I am a 55-year-old part-time dentist who lives in Enfield and I've been volunteering with MAB for 3 years. What motivated you to volunteer for us? About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a macular hole and had to undergo eye surgery at Moorfields Eye Hospital. It was diagnosed at a routine eye examination at the opticians. I had no idea. I received amazing care at the hospital and my eyesight has been restored. During all those hospital visits, I was surprised to see at the outpatients clinic so many people with a wide range of eye conditions and sight impairment, all ages, all backgrounds. This experience motivated me to volunteer. What kind of support do you give to the client? Twice a month, I visit my clients and take them shopping, go out to a cafe garden centre, or do any errands in or outside their homes. What do you enjoy most about the role? I enjoy hearing their stories and knowing how much they appreciate the visit. Any interesting anecdotes you would like to share? If you're interested in volunteering, just sign up and have a go. After a day's training course, you'll be given a client and a support leader. It is truly fulfilling and it will add to your life as much as it adds to theirs. MAB covers the following 9 boroughs: Barnet, Brent, Ealing, Enfield, Haringey, Harrow, Hillingdon, Hounslow and Richmond. Andrew Jones and the London Marathon. Fortunately, Andrew Jones isn't one of those people who thinks that simply because he's run the London Marathon with a sight impairment that everyone with a sight impairment should do likewise. I understand that people are in different mental places and that some people would have more obstacles to overcome than I have had. But if you're someone who wishes that you could get out and do more than you're doing, it is worth listening to Andrew's story and hearing his advice, which extends to all activities, not just to marathon participation. Andrew has retinitis pigmentosa, a fact that he discovered when he was 17 years old. I knew that one day I'd lose my sight completely, so I had time to create a career, buy a home, have a family and establish myself in the world. Andrew knows he had an advantage in that he never thought he wouldn't run. He just accepted the fact that he'd be able to do so. But that doesn't mean he was always running to marathon standards. When he was younger, he would watch the London Marathon every year and thought that one day he would like to do it, but it took him a long while to get there. When I chatted to Andrew, I mainly wanted to find out what obstacles he's faced in his running career and how he has overcome them. So how did Andrew manage to run with a sight impairment? I've always felt that there isn't anything wrong with my legs, Andrew explains. I think early on I used my running to fight against my sight loss. I enjoyed the fact that the people I was running past were sighted and I could outrun many of them. Initially, when his sight wasn't too bad, Andrew would run with a group of friends in the evenings. They would wear high visibility clothing and with a headlight, Andrew could more or less see where they were going. At that stage, he would also run during the day by himself. He ran the Silverstone Half Marathon alone in 2006 unintentionally. He had organised a guide, but they hadn't communicated well enough, so they failed to find each other in the crowd. Encouraged by his girlfriend, now his wife, Amanda, Andrew ran the race anyway. That was the last time that he ran by himself. I love running, Andrew explained, but there's no point in being unsafe. The chances are just too high that you could run into a bus stop or a lamppost and knock yourself unconscious. At that point, Andrew faced a choice: stop running or start running on treadmills. When you talk to Andrew, you can hear how running brings him a feeling of freedom. He joked about how when he used to run along an area where there was a wide pavement, even if it was raining, he would feel like Sylvester Stallone in the Rocky movies, moving in a world of quiet focus with a sense of invincibility. He didn't want to give up that feeling. So although he didn't like the idea of the treadmill, it was better than not running at all. Andrew then joined a gym to use the treadmill and at the same time found that the instructor at the gym was keen to take him out on guided runs regularly. Running through the parks in London early in the morning and watching the sun come up, that was a special experience. The next obstacle Andrew faced was that the instructor who took him running left the gym. Andrew kept going to the gym to use the treadmill, but it became an unsociable and isolating experience. He did some sums and realised that he would be better off buying a treadmill and running at home, and that without the gym fees, the treadmill would pay for itself in 6 years. This worked for a while, but eventually that also felt limited as he didn't get to speak to anyone. One of the significant moments in his running experience was taking his family to do the Black Park park run. We arrived 10 minutes before the start and I informed the organisers that I was visually impaired and asked for a guide. Within minutes, they had found someone to accompany me. If anyone who reads this article is keen to start running, I would really encourage them to consider doing a park run. There are so many of them, and they are likely to be able to find a guide for you, particularly if you email them to let them know in advance that you are coming. Sometimes there are obstacles, but they can be overcome. If there isn't a guide, I've found that you simply need to keep showing up and eventually they find a way to help you. Parkrun is a global organisation which started in the UK. There are many parkruns across London taking place in local parks. They all start at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. They are always welcoming and there is often a cafe which will get frequented. The events are always free and you can walk, jog or run at whatever pace is comfortable. Andrew now runs with the UK chapter of Achilles International. The group is set up to help people with disabilities to take part in sport. They meet in places like Stratford, Paddington, Battersea Park and Green Park. They have many volunteers who act as sighted guides. The group is for all ages, all disabilities and covers all possible paces. If any MAB service users are wanting to get more active, Achilles is very open and inclusive. We meet on a Thursday evening at 6 p.m. at a local station where sighted guides can provide assistance to anyone who needs it to make their way to the venue for that evening. I don't get to run on my own at all anymore, Andrew explains, and I realise now what a privilege that is. There are people who run whole races, even marathons, all on their own. I always have someone to talk to now, and we support and encourage each other. And what about the marathon? I can hear you readers asking. How did that go? Andrew has actually run the London Marathon 4 times. He speaks a lot about the support he gets along the way. In 2005, the support was great, Andrew says. In 2011, the year before the Olympics, the support was also really good. Then in 2021 when I ran, it was the first time I used a tether and had a high visibility vest with blind runner and my name written on my vest. I started in an early wave and everyone in that wave ran ahead, so at times I was running with a relatively open road in front of me. The bystanders were 5 people deep and there was barely a moment in the whole race when there weren't crowds of people cheering me on, calling out my name and my guide's name. 6 or 7 miles in, there were tears in my eyes. My guide wisely said to me, "Put it all into your legs." This year, 2024, Andrew ran with a guide who'd never run a marathon before. He signed up to guide Andrew. Andrew warned him that when they ran over Tower Bridge, he would need to drop the tether and take his guide's arm, as from experience he knew that the cheering would be so loud then that he wouldn't be able to hear the guide speaking to him. You feel like Mo Farah running in the Olympics. Andrew is passionate about encouraging other people with a visual impairment to take part in sport. His advice is simple. 1. Just start doing something. 2. Don't bite off more than you can chew. 3. Just leave the house for a walk, either on your own, with your cane, your dog, or accompanied. 4. Start from where you are, not where you want to be. 5. Don't think you can't do it. There is a lot of support out there now. At parkruns in particular, there are loads of people willing to guide you, and it is worth noting that parkruns are also for people who just want to walk. 6. Keep showing up. People will help you overcome obstacles. 7. The guides get something out of helping you. Don't deny them the opportunity to assist you. And 8. There are many organisations who will help people with disabilities to take part in sport. For example, Parkrun. www.parkrun.org.uk, British Blind Sport, www.britishblindsport.org.uk, Metro Blind Sport, www.metroblindsport.org, and the group that Andrew runs with, www.achillesinternational.org. And lastly, Andrew adds, if you do want to try running, then it is worth investing in a pair of good trainers. Our thanks go to Andrew Jones for the time he gave us to create this article and to Alex Guberman, Andrew's MAB volunteer, who made us aware of Andrew's achievement. Andrew Jones, service user at London Borough of Hillingdon. Alex Guberman, supporting volunteer. Enfield Vision, founded to promote the well-being of visually impaired people living in Enfield. We are a group of visually impaired people determined to improve the environment and to reduce the everyday problems of blind and partially sighted people. We are registered with the Charity Commission as an organisation with the specific aim of promoting the well-being of visually impaired people living in Enfield. We hold a drop-in morning on the third Thursday in each month at Park Avenue Resource Centre, Bush Hill Park, Enfield. To facilitate the drop-in activities, a management committee member and volunteers will be present to assist our visually impaired visitors. If you wish, you can take part in seated Keep Fit exercise by a qualified fitness reflexologist. A member of sensory impaired team from the London Borough of Enfield will also be present to provide specialist advice and urgent response to visually impaired people's queries. Middlesex Association for the Blind representatives will also be present to provide specialist advice, support and signposting to where information and specialist equipment can be purchased. No appointment is needed, refreshments served, come for a chat, you'll be made very welcome. We also offer free braille lessons each Friday morning, weekly bowls matches in association with Enfield Visually Impaired Bowls Club, free IT training, and arrange trips to the theatre and places of interest. For more information, contact us using details below. Community House, 311 4 Street, Edmonton, N90PZ. Email information@enfieldvision.org.uk. Website www.enfieldvision.org.uk. Telephone number 020 8373 6260 and leave a message. Rapid Response Counselling Service, All Boroughs, by Raheel Razvi. Service user testimonial from Miss J. The counselling has been very helpful. Raheel has a rare talent, and I know this as I used to be a life coach. Life coaching and counselling need to be 80-20, which means that the client should be able to do 80% of the talking, the counsellor only 20%. The counsellor is supposed to do a lot of listening so that the client can work out what they need to explore about their situation. Raheel gets this right. He has also put me in touch with Ruth, who's helped me to make applications for Dial-A-Ride. The other MAB person who's helped me is Bina. She's very sweet and welcoming. I've been to two of the coffee mornings that Bina organised and I will continue to go. She's even asked me to speak at a coffee morning and I will be speaking about the women pilots who made a great contribution in World War II. Their contribution has been undervalued. Service user testimonial from Ms. E. There is nothing that can be done for me regarding my eyesight, so it's been very helpful to talk to Raheel about this. I don't have any relatives I can talk to as I'm on my own and my neighbours all go off to work during the week. I don't want to intrude on them during the weekends, so having Raheel has been very helpful. He's extremely kind and has listened to me. The Mobile Resource Unit, Assistive Technology Demonstrations. For more information on assistive technology, how to prevent and manage sight loss and more, please visit our mobile resource unit. For full details, including venues and dates for the MRU, please visit our website www.aftb.org.uk or call 020 8423 5141. I Matter, a daily multi-activity peer support group for people with visual impairment. Zoom online meetings and monthly meetups in London. Activities include cookery, poetry, chair yoga, book club, audio described Zumba sessions, sailing day and picnic break, Tate Modern private audio described tour, neurobics, aerobics for the memory, sports taster days, audio described chair yoga, social group gathering, drama improvisation, quiz time, mental health wellbeing group, discuss and swap survival hacks, and listen and sing along sessions. For more information, contact Susie at iMatter. Call 07968 722 664 or email imattervi@gmail.com. Middlesex Association for the Blind Employment Service. A Clear Vision to Employment course. Contact us for more information on 020 8423 5141 or email employmentservice@aftb.org.uk. MAB Board of Trustees. Chair, Mr. Raj Mehta. Vice Chair, Mr. Bharat Hindosha, Treasurer, Mr. Kambiz Dhanashaya, Trustee, Mr. Jagdish Shingadia, Trustee, Ms. Rachel Goldberg, Trustee, Mr. Kazim Katak, Trustee, Mr. Raphael Menikan, Trustee, Mr. Nick McCabe, Trustee, Ms. Joshna Thakra, Trustee, Ms. Helen McGrath, Trustee, Mr. Nigel Liddell. MAB Barnet volunteer, Lawrence Pitt, with the 60th Mayor of Barnet, Tony Vuru. I'm a keen cyclist. In the autumn of 2021, just after COVID lockdown, I saw a MAB advert in a Barnet bike shop window asking for volunteers to assist with a trike ride in Ealing for visually impaired people. I enrolled, then became involved in assisting at coffee mornings in Barnet and Ealing and visiting a blind lady to help read her post. I find MAB a friendly, sympathetic and often fun organisation to be involved with. The other volunteers and the MAB team have always been very welcoming. I also want to make special mention of my fellow volunteer, Corinne, with whom I entertain the clients with interactive songs, dance and comedy. I was honoured to be given an award by Barnet's Mayor as recognition for my work, but in reality, all volunteers deserve such an award. MAB VIP Social Clubs. The meetings are a chance for people to get together and make new friends. Through socialising at the clubs, people who are new to visual impairment are inspired by the people they meet. It is an opportunity to share challenges and victories and to make social connections that go beyond the life of the monthly meeting. We currently run monthly clubs in all 9 boroughs. Barnet. Our Barnet VIP club runs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the last Thursday of every month at St Margaret's United Reformed Church, Victoria Road, Finchley, N3 1BD. Brent. Our Brent VIP club runs from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the first Monday of each month at the Brent Bridge Park Community Leisure Centre, Brentfield, Harrow Road, NW10 0RG. Ealing. Our Ealing VIP club coffee morning runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the third Thursday of each month at the William Habane Centre, 1 St Dunstan's Road, W7 2EY. Our Ealing Trike Club usually runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the last Wednesday of the month, March to October only, in Walpole Park, Mattock Lane, W5 5EQ. Enfield. Our Enfield VIP drop-in centre runs from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the third Thursday of each month at the Park Avenue Centre, 65C Park Avenue, Bush Hill Park, Enfield, EN1 2HL. Haringey. Our Haringey VIP club runs from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the second Wednesday of each month at the Wingfield Resource Centre, 33 Wingfield Road, Wood Green, N22 5RP. Harrow. Our Harrow Open Eyes VIP club runs from 10:45 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. on the last Wednesday of each month at Wildstone Library, 38 to 40 High Street, Wildstone, HA8 7AE. Hillingdon. Our Hillingdon VIP club runs from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the last Thursday of each month at Christchurch, Redford Way, Belmont Road, Uxbridge, UB8 1SZ. Hounslow. Our Hounslow VIP club usually runs from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on the last Thursday of the month at the British Legion, Witton Road, Hounslow, TW3 2DB. Richmond. Our Richmond VIP club runs from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the fourth or last Monday of each month at Duke Street Church, Living Meeting Room, Duke Street, Quadrant Road, Richmond, TW9 1DH. For more details about our social clubs, please visit our website www.aftb.org.uk or call 020 8423 5141. Contact numbers. Borough Coordinators' contact numbers. Barnet, Bina Padia, 07594 625 215. Brent, Rita Shah, 07510 127 893. Ealing, Camila Reynolds, 07387 101 631. Enfield, Ruth Gaskin, 07858 311 410. Haringey, Caroline Adamson, 07754 875 175. Harrow, Alison Bicknell, 07387 101 632. Hillingdon, Joanne White, 07387 101 630. Hounslow and Richmond, Katarzyna Cheaplack, 07511 826 892. Sensory Services Team contact numbers: Barnett, 020 8359 5000. Brent, 020 8937 4300. Ealing, 020 8825 6230. Enfield, 020 8379 1001. Haringey, 020 8489 8900. Harrow, 020 8901 2680. Hillingdon, 01895 556 633. Hounslow, 020 8583 3100. Richmond, 020 8891 7971. Contributing to Outlook. We welcome contributions to the newsletter. Please send your articles to Patricia Odina, patricia@aftb.org.uk. This edition of Outlook is produced by Middlesex Association for the Blind, Suite 18, Free Trade House, Lowther Road, Stanmore, Middlesex, HA7 1EP. Telephone 020 8423 5141. Email info@aftb.org.uk. Website www.aftb.org.uk. Registered charity number 207007. Find us on Facebook at Middlesex Blind. Find us on Instagram, Middlesex Blind. Find us on LinkedIn, Middlesex Association for the Blind. Are you receiving this newsletter in your preferred format? Outlook is produced in the following formats: large print, braille, on USB and email. It is also available online in print and audio formats at www.aftb.org.uk/outlook-magazine. So that we can keep our records up to date, please telephone us if you move address or would like to receive Outlook in a different format. Telephone 020 8423 5141. Alternatively, please email Patricia at patricia@aftb.org.uk. Magnifico, the magnifier company. Established in 1999, many thanks to the Magnifier Company for their free sample magnifiers for our service user demonstrations. They offer a selection of magnifying glasses, Fresnel lenses, magnifier lamps, loops, linen testers and low vision aids. For more information, www.magnifyingglasses.co.uk. Evenbreak, job board for disabled candidates. Thank you. Thank you all for your support. A big thank you to the Management and Community Champion team at Morrison's Supermarket, Honeypot Lane, Queensbury, London, NW96RN, for allocating free car parking spaces to MAB service users and staff. Special thanks also to our volunteers for their continued support. To the Management and Community Champion team at Tesco Superstore, Ballards Lane, Finchley, N31XP, a big thank you for your continued support of our VIP Barnett monthly coffee mornings. Our sincere thanks to the following for allowing us to place MAB collection boxes on their premises. Joe's Bacon Bite, 5 Queensbury Station Parade, HA8 5NP. Bath Road Pharmacy, 115 to 117 Bath Road, Hounslow, TW3 3BT. Seven Oaks Court, Copswood Way, Northwood, HA6 2TW. Harrison Hall Coffee Shop, 24 King Street, Twickenham, TW1 3SN. Thank you to Barnet Coptall Leisure for hosting MAB Monthly Activity Days. To all our Trust, Foundation, Borough and Corporate donors, without you we would not exist. Thank you for your continued support. That was the end of Outlook Spring Summer Edition 2024, recorded and produced by Calibre Audio. Please kindly return this USB device to Middlesex Association for the Blind once you've heard this audio recording. There will be no charge to return this USB to MAB. Simply flip the address card over, place the USB device in the padded envelope provided, and pop it in the letterbox. Middlesex Association for the Blind, thank you in advance for your help and support.